views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show. I'm your host, Debbie Pokornik, and my mission is to help you tune in to the vibrant, powerful person you were always meant to be so that you can create a life you love at work, at home, and at play. Now, my guest today is Noreen Kolesar, a woman who specializes in brain health and fitness. Noreen believes that a fit brain is every bit as important as a fit body, and she has dedicated a good chunk of her life to helping people learn tricks and tools to make sure their brain is in tip-top shape. Noreen is a certified brain gym instructor and the creator of the Wiser Brain Program. Now, I've had the pleasure of learning from Noreen many times at different workshops, meetings, speaking events. I've even been part of a mastermind with her. We've gone to a retreat and we've done some traveling together. So I know firsthand how passionate she is about this topic. I also know that she's a wife, a mother of two young men. She is an avid gardener, and she can keep a conversation going for hours with both her curiosity and her storytelling, but it's always very interesting stuff. So today she's here to shed some light for us on brain fog, and is going to share five important activities that you can do every day to keep your brain fit. Noreen, welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show.
Thanks, Debbie. It's great to be here with you.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you. Now, you actually raised a very important question when we talked before. And so I thought that we could start with just a little clarification for our listeners about how brain fitness differs from mental health, just so we're all on the same page. Could you help us with that?
Sure. Mental health is more and more being talked about around the areas of stress and so on. But what I'm talking about when I talk about brain fitness is not so much mental illness or mental issues that people are dealing with, but just keeping our brains fit so that we can think clearly, have great focus, be more creative, and ward off the potential early signs of dementia, or maybe eliminate dementia out of our lives altogether later on.
Right. So just kind of keeping us quick and thinking straight.
Yes.
I love this idea. I need that. So how did you get interested in brain fitness?
Well, there was never really one thing, but a lot of different things in my life that sort of came together. And I suspect that's with a lot of people when they get interested in something. There's different pointers that direct them down that particular path. Mm-hmm. One of the things was that I used to have very bad migraines, right? Go to bed in the dark, pull the blinds, no sound type of migraines. And right. I thought, surely there's something I can do so that I don't have these migraines that are so debilitating for 2 or 3 days at a time. Mm-hmm. So that was one thing that started me on sort of the idea that our brain can be healthy as well as our body. And, then so many other things. I had an aunt who had dementia, which made me start to think about that. In school as a student, I was never a stellar student. I did well enough. I was your solid C student. But I often wondered, why are some people so much better at school than I am? I didn't think I was stupid. I just didn't really like school very much. And I thought, maybe there's more to it. And so all of these things kind of kept heading me in the direction of how I can make my brain work better for me.
I love how the universe guides us like that, right? Yeah. All these little things. And sometimes you can go all the way back to when you were a child and you'll go, oh, that was the start of this.
Yeah.
So, and I also love that you said, I used to have migraines. So through working with your brain and keeping your brain fit, were you able to heal the migraines?
Yes, I think so. I know other people have said to me, oh, well, you just grew out of them because, you know, that happens with hormones and so on. And maybe hormones was a part of it. But I don't think so. I think long before I got to any hormonal stages in my life, you know, menopause and so on, that I was pretty much rid of migraines. I know I can tell when they're coming on. I know what to do to prevent it. And just I just have adapted lifestyle strategies that don't include migraines anymore.
Right. That all fit together to keep your brain fit.
Yes. Nice.
No, that's one of the greatest challenges with prevention, right? Is there's always that, well, how do you know? How do you know it was going to, you know, helped to fix it or whatever?
Yes.
So,
yeah. Yeah.
So let's talk for a minute about brain fog, because you said that you wanted to share some information about that. And I am a person who has experienced plenty of brain fog in my life. So what causes it?
Well, that's a million-dollar question for sure, and something that I'm asked so many times. And really, it would be nice if there was one answer, but each of us have our own answers. And as I mentioned, hormones could be part of it. I didn't realize it at the time, but after my first son was born, I had postpartum depression. And I thought it was just, I was tired all the time, and that's why I was crying. And that's why I felt so lonely. And that's why, you know, but it wasn't until my second son was born, I thought, wait, I'm not feeling like that now. And it wasn't so much in the news as it is, as it became later on.
Right.
And so, you know, like I say, hormones can be one of them. Grief can cause brain fog. That's hard to believe, but, you know, sometimes you can be just so sad that you're not thinking clearly. Poor diet clearly can cause problems for our brain. All sorts of stress, even surprisingly being understimulated. If you've got no excitement in your life and your brain just doesn't have to work very hard, then that can also cause brain fog. And
you know,
a big one too is inactivity.
Yes. It's funny, those last two that you just shared make me think of my mother, and she had had double knee surgery a number of years ago. And, you know, after the surgery, it was really tough for her recovering from it. And so she wasn't able to do much. And as she got more mobile and everything, I would take her places as something, you know, a way to keep her occupied. And she said to me, you know what my problem is? I don't have any goals anymore. I don't have anything I'm working towards because I put everything aside to have this surgery and now I can't curl. I can't golf. I, you know.
Yeah.
And I just remember her saying, it's like, I have nothing to stimulate me.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's a really good example of how when we don't have things to occupy our mind just stops thinking clearly.
Yeah, very, very true. And certainly food has been an issue for me, but I mean, I have quite a healthy diet, but it turns out if you have sensitivities to food, that particular food can create foggy brain as well. So
yes. Exactly. That's certainly on the list of things is food sensitivities and extreme allergies as well. But even not to that extreme, just sensitivities can cause us to not think clearly.
Yes. So now I want to bring this back into, in all the years that I have known you now, you have taught different tools at different events, whether it was your own workshop or, you know, whether you were at one of the meetings I was at and you did tools. And what I found even there was that those tools helped me if I was having a foggy day or just wasn't thinking as clearly as I'd like to be thinking because I was going to be getting up and speaking soon, you know, and I was nervous. They really helped me. So I'm wondering if you could share a tool right now with our listeners. I know we're on the radio, so it makes it a lot harder because people can't see you, but a tool that parents could use or they could use for themselves or they could use with their kids or whatever. Do you have a tool you could share?
Sure. One of the things that comes from the Brain Gym program, and it's really one of my favorite activities in Brain Gym, they call it a cross crawl.
Okay.
It comes back to the premise that the more we move our body, the more we're stimulating our brain. And so really movement is one of the most important things that we can do to keep our brains fit. And this particular activity is engaging an interesting concept about our brain, in that the left side of our left brain hemisphere is in charge of the right side of our body, and our right brain hemisphere is in charge of our left side of our body. So in order to engage our hemispheres, in order to activate our entire brain, we do an activity called a cross crawl. And it's very simple. It can be done standing or sitting.
Okay. I'm going to try to do it sitting. So I'm going to try to follow along. I'll let you know if I have questions.
All right. And sitting is good for people with poor balance, or sometimes little kids. It's easier for them to sit, but little kids can do it standing as well. So take your right hand and put it on your left knee.
Okay.
And then come back to center, and then take your hand off, and then take your left hand and put it on your right knee.
Okay.
And then take it off, and you just can do that back and forth. And the object of this, suppose you're doing it standing. Mm-hmm. You put your elbow on your knee instead of your hand. I think it would be kind of hard to do it your elbow when you're sitting.
But actually, I can.
Okay, all right, good.
I'm doing it.
Yeah, so, and if you're standing, you can put your right elbow on your left knee and then switch and put your left elbow on your right knee. And as you're doing it, of course, you're lifting your foot off the floor so that you're bringing your opposite knee and elbow together to touch.
I wasn't doing that. I wasn't lifting my leg.
Well, when you're sitting, you don't necessarily need to, but you can lift it slightly off the floor just so that you're activating the muscles in each leg as well as each arm.
Right. So you're really capitalizing on that movement.
Yes. And the point is to do it slowly and thoughtfully. It's not an exercise it's a slow, methodical movement so that we're engaging our brain. And sometimes doing activities slowly is harder than doing it quickly, because it requires us to be engaged with our brain and not just get into a momentum of doing it.
Yeah, you're right. And I was going faster as I did it. Yeah. So I have a slight memory of this. I don't know if it's the same one or not, but then did we do our shoulders maybe too?
Yeah. So, well, when I'm running courses, then just to make it more fun, I mix it all up. And sometimes I get them to put, their right hand on their left shoulder and their left hand on their right hip, or, you know, just to kind of, you know, you can do shoulders and then you can do your hips. And then what's interesting is sometimes I get them to do, those are sort of like when you think of it as our large muscles, if you move it down into our small muscles and then put one finger on your chin and the opposite hand on your cheek and then switch. And some people find that more difficult because it's using our fine motor skills rather than our large muscles. Try putting your left hand on your right cheek, and then your right hand on your left ear.
Oh, I can't. I have a headset on, but I tried.
And then you alternate back and forth. So those are just some alterations that I make to the basic cross crawl when I'm doing presentations, just to have it more fun. And so some people will find the first one really easy, and then when I get them to do the second one, they're saying, oh, this is hard. And then they can start to relate to the people that were challenged by doing the basic cross crawl.
Yeah. What an awesome tip. I mean, I could see you're sitting in a meeting and you're having trouble focusing on what the people are saying or whatever. You could start to slowly do this just as you're sitting there, putting your hands opposite knees, right? I could see this being a great game with the kids, you know, where you mimic whatever mommy's doing and playing a game and moving it all around. But now you're doing it consciously. Now you're doing it knowing that that's actually activating the different sides of the brain. What a powerful tool.
Yeah, one time my son, it was an in-service, and he had a couple of his friends over, and they came in the afternoon, and they wanted to play video games. So I didn't let them play video games in the morning, and I had them doing other activities because I knew that, you know, kids like to play video games with their friends, and it was their day off. So I said, okay, when they come over, you can play. So when the two boys came, and he was so looking forward to it. And the one boy mentioned, I heard, you know, I overheard a lot of their conversation. I heard him saying, this has been such an awesome day. I've been playing video games all day, because I guess his mother allowed him to play in the morning. And okay. Then about a half an hour later, maybe an hour, I can't remember, he came to me and he said, can I phone my dad to come and get me because I have a headache?
Oh.
And I thought, oh, you know.
I did it.
My first thought was, oh, my son, he was so looking forward to this. You're ruining it for him.
Yeah.
But anyway, he called his dad and his dad didn't answer. So I thought, okay, what can I do? So I just got the three boys to do a couple of different brain gym activities, and I didn't want to overdo it
right.
Make it like it was a chore. And so they did them, and then they went back to their video games. And when his dad did come, they were at the door, and I turned to the boy and I said, how's your headache now? And he looked at me and he said, well, it's gone. And so one of the things when you're playing video games is that muscles in the back of your neck get tight. Well, right. A lot of your muscles will get tight, your eyes get strained and so on. So I chose brain gym activities that would relax the eyes and the neck muscles. And
nice.
I, again, who knows if that was what worked or not, but his headache went away after doing those activities, and he continued to play video games for a while.
Right. So there's two messages there, right? Letting your child sit and play video games for hours is hard on them in more ways than you might think. But also there are these kind of tricks. And I think the same can be true even for studying, for working at a computer, right? All those things that get us all tense in the shoulders.
Yes.
I love this. So our time is moving along. I'm gonna mix things up here a little bit. And let's talk about the five activities that you say people should do every day to keep their brain fit.
All right. Well, I have, they're not specific activities. I would call them more like categories of activities.
Okay.
And so the first category I call the workout zone. We've talked about this quite a bit, and that's the importance of movement. Just keep moving our body. The more we move our body, the better shape our brain is in. And the movement, coincidentally, that research is showing that is one of the very best, is dancing. So if we get out and dance regularly, we're doing great benefits for our brain.
Nice. And you don't even have to go out anywhere. You can put music on at home and just dance around while you're cleaning.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, exactly. Nice. And the study also shows that if you're dancing with a partner, that the one who's following gets more brain benefits than the one who's leading. So I'm not sure what's going on there, except that I guess you need to read the leader. So there's a little extra component there rather than just the dance steps that you're processing.
Interesting. So there's those, the dance that, you know, like a waltz or a two-step or whatever, where you're dancing with someone else. And then there's a dance where you're dancing with someone else, but you're both just, you know, going wild doing your own thing. Yeah. There's obviously going to be different benefits depending. Right?
Yes. Yeah. Well, and music too is great.
That's true.
So, and that's the second category. So movement is the first one. The second one, I call it your imagination playhouse. And this is aspects of your life that are fun for you. And it's hard to categorize this because what's fun for you might not be fun for me, but some of the things are music for sure. Laughter is shown to be so beneficial for our brain.
Yes.
Things like unstructured play. Now, another interesting story is of a study. This was done in New Zealand, and they were comparing recess times with phys ed class and how the children were when they came back to class following each of these. And what they found was that phys ed class did not have the same benefits that recess did. And the difference is that although they were moving in both cases, the recess was totally unstructured. Children could choose what they wanted to do and they could use their imagination, whereas phys ed class is just another class for some children, that they have to follow instructions and do what they're told and play by the rules. And so they're getting the physical activity, which is good. I'm not saying that's not, but as far as the brain health, the recess was better. So we need, you know, and again, when you take it back to us as adults, what do we need? We need vacation time. We need to take a break. We need coffee breaks, stuff like that.
Absolutely. Like some structure is good, but some play as an unstructured play is very important too. And I actually find that to be a challenge for a lot of parents where their child just wants to play and they want to be logical. And well, you can't, you know, if you can't play the game that way. And it's like, why not?
Yeah.
why can't we just do whatever?
Sure, when we're playing it? The dinosaur can't drive the tractor.
Yeah, exactly. So, I think that is such an important category for sure. Well, both of them. So far, both of them are like right up there in my list of things.
Yes, yes. Well, and then the third one is, I call this one Serenity Island. And this is where we go to calm our brain down. And again, there's a big list of things we could do. Some very important ones are things like deep breathing, learning to find gratitude, just reducing stress in wherever we can. Right. Getting a good night's sleep is another one.
Yes.
One of the things that I did when I went to college back in the day was I took a course in meditation. And at that time, it was kind of not as mainstream as it is now. But I have to say that was one of the best things I've ever done for myself in my entire life. It really had a profound impact on how well I was able to study and get through college and get through each class. It was very good.
Yes, it can be so awesome for people. And I think some people have an idea of what it has to look like. And that's the thing. I love to meditate when I walk. I just go in and I walk. And the trick is I need to calm my brain, quiet my brain, get it to just go into that state of being rather than doing.
Yeah.
And that's what makes a difference. So I love that you shared that because there's so many ways to quiet your brain, and certainly meditation and sleep are one of them. My thing, whenever I meditate in a chair, I fall asleep every single time.
Yeah.
And I've done it for years.
Yeah. Well, and walking in nature, like going for a walk through trees and flowers are so great. In fact, they've found that that even looking at pictures of trees and nature helps to calm our brain down.
Yes.
So obviously the walking is better, but that works for many people like to prayer or spiritual beliefs. Like that's why I'm saying these are just categories.
And absolutely.
We can choose, but finding a way to calm our brain down is so important.
Absolutely. Okay, so what's number four?
Number four is the experimental station. And here we need to stimulate our brain. And we talked about that earlier with your mom not having stimulation. Mm-hmm. And this is where we take courses. What are they called? Continuing education courses, lifelong learning, I guess. Doing puzzles, playing board games.
So crossword puzzle is
sure,
one of those?
Anything. Yeah. But the trick here is that if you do a lot of crossword puzzles, then if you're going to stimulate your brain, you might want to switch to a Sudoku.
Right.
So that you mix it up.
Right. Don't fall into a groove because then you do create grooves in your brain.
Yeah. And I mean, you can still do them, but don't think that that's stimulating your brain anymore if it's now a habit or a routine or do you see what I'm saying?
Absolutely. So like Jenga, where you're pulling out the little blocks and trying not to get the tower to fall, that's going to be different and stimulate you.
Right.
Nice.
Yeah. And the other thing with this is sometimes stimulating all of our senses also stimulates our brain. So go walk barefoot.
Yes.
You can feel the grass on your feet.
Oh, you are speaking my language. Yeah. All right. So let's give number five because we are almost out of time and I want to make sure they get all five of them.
Okay. Well, five is the Royal Buffet. And this is really our diet. It's what we eat and what we don't eat that's important. So I'm a big believer in eating whole, unprocessed foods, avoiding chemicals. So in other words, organic as much as possible. Mm-hmm. Drinking enough water, eating, you know, raw if we can.
Fruits and veggies.
Yeah, fruits and veggies, nuts and seeds, fish, you know, the good fishes and so on. So That's pretty, what's good for our body is good for our brain for the most part when it comes to our diet. There are a few things that people recommend specifically for our brain, like walnuts are supposed to be very good and avocado and blueberries. And so there's a few that stand out. But if you eat a good variety of fruits and vegetables and seeds and nuts and so on, you're probably going to hit all of those as well.
Okay. So those are wonderful tips. And I hate to cut you off because this has been so fun, but it's also over. So you have a brain self-assessment quiz that our listeners can do to find out how fit their brain is. And I went and did it. And I love that it sent me information. It told me how I was doing, what more I could do, that kind of thing. And so you can go to mindstage.ca. And okay, Noreen, you have to help me out here. Click on the picture of
Fook, Look, and Sao. So those are three Chinese wise men. So there's just little statues of three figurines of Chinese.
Chinese wise men. Awesome. So they're in the top right-hand corner of the page, of the welcome page, and you can find this quiz there. And that's a great way to get in touch with Noreen and find out how your brain is doing at the same time. Noreen, thank you so very much for coming on the show today. I really appreciate your sharing your time and your wisdom with us. And I know people got a lot of wonderful information and tips and things they can try from it. So thank you very, very much.
Thank you. It was fun.
Oh, good. And a big thank you to you, my listeners. I appreciate each and every one of you. With much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik and her guest, Noreen Kolesar, wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant, Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and leave us a positive review. To find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of Vibrant Powerful Moms, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters N-R-G.com.